The raid on Lindisfarne in 793 has often been remembered as the thunderclap that announced the beginning of the Viking Age. It was not the first time seaborne warriors had crossed the waters of northern Europe, nor was it the first act of violence committed against a religious community. Yet the attack on this small island monastery off the coast of Northumbria shocked the Christian world with unusual force because of what Lindisfarne represented. It was not merely a settlement with buildings, livestock, books, and treasure. It was a sacred place, a center of learning, a house of prayer, and one of the spiritual jewels of Anglo-Saxon England. When raiders came out of the sea and struck it with sudden brutality, the event seemed to many observers not only like a military disaster but like an assault on the order of the world itself. To understand why the attack mattered so deeply, it is necessary to see Lindisfarne before the sails appeared. The island, also known as Holy Island, lay close to the northeastern coast of England, joined to the mainland by a tidal causeway that disappeared beneath the sea at high water. Its geography made it both accessible and isolated. At certain hours, travelers could cross on foot, at others, the island became surrounded by water, set apart from ordinary life. That rhythm of land and sea gave Lindisfarne a symbolic power that suited the monastic imagination. It was near enough to serve a kingdom, yet remote enough to suggest withdrawal from worldly noise. In the early medieval mind, such places stood on the edge between the human and the divine, where discipline, silence, and devotion could turn a small island into a beacon of holiness. The monastery had been founded in the 7th century, during the great age of Christian expansion in Anglo-Saxon England. Its origins were tied to King Oswald of Northumbria, who invited Irish-trained monks from Iona to help restore Christianity in his kingdom. Among those missionaries was Saint Aidan, whose gentle preaching and disciplined life helped make Lindisfarne a center of conversion and learning. From the beginning, the monastery blended royal patronage, Celtic Christian traditions, and Northumbrian ambition. It served kings, instructed clergy, preserved books, and helped spread a religious culture that would shape northern England for generations. Its monks were not soldiers, merchants, or political officers, but their institutions stood close to power because literacy, sanctity, and royal legitimacy were deeply connected. By the 8th century, Northumbria had become one of the most culturally brilliant kingdoms in Western Europe. Its monasteries produced manuscripts, trained scholars, and maintained contacts with other Christian centers across Britain, Ireland, and the continent. The famous Lindisfarne Gospels, created around this broad period of Northumbrian artistic achievement, reveal the sophistication of the world that the raiders entered. Their intricate decoration, interlaced patterns, and luminous script were not the work of an isolated or primitive society. They belong to an intellectual and devotional culture of remarkable refinement. Monasteries like Lindisfarne, Wearmouth Gerow, and York preserved sacred texts, calculated calendars, copied commentaries, and formed men who could correspond with the leading minds of Europe. That spiritual prestige rested above all on the memory of Saint Cuthbert, the most beloved saint associated with Lindisfarne. Cuthbert had been a monk, prior, hermit, and bishop, renowned for humility, discipline, healing power, and closeness to the natural world. After his death in 687, his body became the center of a powerful cult. Pilgrims came to seek his blessing, and the community that guarded his relics gained immense prestige. In a Christian society where saints were understood as living intercessors in heaven, the shrine of Saint Cuthbert was not simply a memorial. It was a point of contact between earth and eternity. To harm such a place seemed, to believers, an offense against a saint who protected the land and linked the community to divine favor. Yet the wealth and visibility of monasteries also made them vulnerable. Early medieval monasteries were religious institutions, but they were also landholders, storehouses, workshops, and repositories of precious objects.